With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
To the left-hand side for Vieira, who'll play through to Gabriel Jesus, who's in here for Arsenal. Gabriel Jesus to finish it off. Oh, what a way to do it! Gabriel Jesus seals the points for Arsenal. He's back, and he's back with a bang!
Into the penalty area it goes. Gabriel header, and it's into the back of the net. Arsenal take an early lead through Gabriel.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the daily Arsenal podcast with me, Harry Simeon.
Good morning, everybody. Hope you're all good. Hope you're all well. Happy Monday. Happy Easter to those who were celebrating over the weekend. It's the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast. We're back and we're going to be looking back on that interesting game up at the Etihad yesterday. Arsenal turning up at the home of the champions and putting in a defensive masterclass. Should we be calling it that? Was it a bit of an opportunity missed given the fact that City weren't at their best? I don't know. We're going to get into all of that on this episode because I think it's a really, really interesting debate and discussion to have whilst breaking down all the nuances of what was a huge game in the context of the title race. Thank you to everybody who's joining us live right now on the stream, whether that be via our YouTube channel, whether that be on X. If you are on X, come over to the YouTube channel. Give us a subscribe, give us a follow, turn the notification bell on. That really, really does help. And if you're listening to us on audio, we love you just as much. Make sure that you guys are subscribed and that make sure that you're leaving us a review on whichever your preferred podcast platform is. Okay, I guess we'll start with that question of, should we be happy? Should we be content with the fact that we've gone to Manchester City and got a point? Well, when you put all the context into this, right, into this conversation and into this discussion, this is a place that traditionally we've been battered at. This is a place that we turned up to at the business end of last season, needing a result, and we completely were outclassed. We capitulated. We fell apart. Okay, we had a couple of key players missing that really made a difference to our side. But I think when you apply all the context, which we're going to do throughout the duration of this show, you'll see that actually the draw, albeit not something that you should be jumping up and down and celebrating, is a sign of how Arsenal have moved forward again. And you can only ever ask for progress in football. You can't flick a switch and turn yourselves into a trophy-winning, all-dominating side. That doesn't happen. You went to City last year and you got absolutely played off the park and battered and made to look like boys. That was the truth of it. I said it at the time. And I still have that memory of that game. Nothing's changed in my mind with regards to that. We turned up this time. We weren't pushovers. We were much more organized. We were much more streetwise. Did it take away from our attacking play a little bit? Yeah, it probably did. Because I think that there were points in this game where when we did try and turn the game around, when we did try to break away, or we tried to, you know, create some kind of sustained period of pressure from our side, at points we were maybe just too tired to do it. We had too little of the ball to be able to create the high quality chances that you've come to expect from Mikel Arteta's Arsenal side. Did we have a few moments that we should have done more with? Yeah, absolutely. There were a couple of moments in the first half for Gabriel Jesus. There was the one where he took it on his chest and he hit it just wide of the near post. Difficult chance, that, to be fair. There was another opportunity where he sort of won the ball, you know, then got involved in the build-up to something and, you know, did some really good footwork around the edge of the box to make the room for the shot and maybe just took on one too many players. There was another opportunity where I was screaming at him to have a shot. And again, he just tried to take maybe that extra touch and overcomplicate matters a little bit. But, you know, And sorry, there was the one in the second half, of course, wasn't there as well, where Bukayo Saka played the ball across the face of the goal. And I know a lot of people were upset that Gabriel Jesus didn't get on the end of that as well. But I think having sort of thought about it and processed it all on my way home from Manchester last night, I'm actually quite pleased with not so much the outcome, because how can you really be pleased with a point in a three-horse race when you went into the weekend top and now you're not? You can't be ecstatic. You can't be jumping up and down. You can't be celebrating. But what you can be, I think, looking at the circumstances and looking at the way we were able to nullify a side that are so, so good going forward, I think you have to look at it through a more positive lens. It is glass half full rather than glass half empty. Lots was made of some of the injury problems that Manchester City had going into this game. Lots of people were talking about, you know, the fact that they were without Kyle Walker, that John Stones was obviously not fit enough to start the game. And all of that is valid and all of that is true. But, you know, we had a Bukayo Saka yesterday on the pitch that clearly wasn't at 100% in terms of his fitness. We couldn't play Gabriel Martinelli, who I talked about in the lead up to the game as being really, really important, even more so in the absence of Kyle Walker. You know, we couldn't play Thomas Partey alongside Declan Rice from the start because he wasn't fit enough. And I think that would have made us stronger. You know, there was a lot of things we couldn't do. We couldn't play Takahiro Tomiyasu from the start at left back, who I think Mikel Arteta would have probably preferred, all things considered. So we had players that maybe weren't as, you know, as injured as to the point where they couldn't feature at all, but we certainly didn't have a clean bill of health. And it's very difficult to have that coming back from an international break because people have been going here, there and everywhere. And, you know, you've lost track for a few days of maybe where those players are and you're not able to take care of them in the same way. But Manchester City's attack was still intact. Manchester City's forward line was still as good as it ever is. They were able to bring Grealish back later on in the game. Jeremy Doku's a player that everybody's been waxing lyrical about this season. Bernardo Silva, Kevin De Bruyne, Erling Haaland, Phil Foden were all in the team. Rodri was in the team. What we did really, really well yesterday was defend with solidity. What we did really, really well was keep Manchester City at arm's length. And if I go to the match statistics, you know, to be able to keep a side like Manchester City, despite them having 73% of the ball, far enough away from your goal that they've only managed one shot on target, I think is something to be not ecstatic about, but something to use as encouragement, I think, when you're talking about the evolution and the progress of this Arsenal side. We only had 27% of the ball, but we didn't allow them to cause us too many problems. And what that says to me is that we're now able to control games without having the ball too. Last season, it was, we need to have the ball. We need to be dominant. We need to be in control all the time. That's the only way. And we turned up at Manchester City and we tried to play in exactly the same way as we'd approach the rest of the season. Only A, we didn't have the personnel that day to do it. And B, we were up against a side that were much, much better than us. Sometimes the beauty of football, what makes it so special and what separates the top managers from other managers is this ability to go, right, this is how I want to play in an ideal world, but today's not the day for it. I have to adapt. I have to change it. Now, there were some comments earlier on from some of you guys in the chat before I actually went live who were quite critical of the way that Arsenal played and the way that Arsenal approached this game. And I'll read a couple of them out. Gunnar Deja Vu said, such a disappointing performance. We still don't play City the way Liverpool do mentally. Liverpool see themselves as equals. We still play them as a small team hoping to nick something. Jid went on to say, also not happy with our performance. Big clubs don't care who they play against. They don't change or try to contain. We played like a Mourinho side and showed them too much respect. Let me give you a stat that I don't think a lot of people realise. Liverpool have never won under Jurgen Klopp at the Etihad against Pep Guardiola's Man City. Never. It's never happened. There's a reason for that, because it's a bloody difficult place to go. You're not going to go from never competing with this side and being nowhere near them to just flicking a switch and rocking up at the Etihad and blowing them away. Okay, it just doesn't happen. Liverpool have had years and years and years to get to the place that they are today. They've built up that kind of, you know, that mental resilience when it comes to facing Manchester City, but only at Anfield. And I'm sure if you asked Jurgen Klopp, would you prefer that your games against Pep Guardiola's Manchester City are blockbusters, or that you had another league title? What do you think he would pick? You know, it's about the results when the very, very top sides are meeting and when the margins are so fine. And yeah, in an ideal world, it would be a much more entertaining game. It would be a much more free-flowing game of football. But Mikel Arteta realises where his Arsenal side are at, and he knows Manchester City inside out. And over time, he's been able to come up with a formula that stifles them. Now, it hasn't been 0-0 and 0-0. I know that we won the game by a small margin at the Emirates earlier this season. But Mikel Arteta did beat them this season. He's the one that had already taken 3 points off of Manchester City going into this fixture. He was the one that was away from home. His side were the side that was sitting above Manchester City in the table. The onus was on them to go out and win the game. For us, it was about being compact. It was about being strong. It was about making sure that we didn't get beat. And if we could nick it, great. But this idea as well, and I've heard some people saying over the last few hours, well, you know, it was a really good defensive display for the first hour, which was great, which was fine. I'm absolutely fine with that. But at some point, we should have been able to then recognize that they weren't at their best and almost flick a switch and go on and win the game. And the substitutions should have made the difference and all that. Do you realize how difficult it is to be without the ball for so long, to be chasing shadows, to be super concentrated to the point that you are not allowing any space? Manchester City had one attempt on target. I don't remember David Raya making a single save. Normally, when someone goes to the Etihad and gets a result, you go, oh, bloody hell, they rode their luck a little bit there, or the goalkeeper was outstanding, or the centre half was outstanding, or whatever. You find some kind of reason for that. This was just a collectively really bloody good defensive performance from Arsenal. But this idea that when you get to 75 minutes, having played like that and having had to play like that because your opponent's so good, they forced you into that position. This idea that you can flick a switch and all of a sudden you're going to be, you know, this incredibly dangerous and threatening attacking force is wild. That's not the reality of the situation. And I think people do need to understand that and do need to think about that. I just don't understand. If you can't win a game, then make sure you don't lose it. And that's what Arsenal did yesterday. And I thought they did a really, really good job in the end to make sure that they didn't throw the game away. They didn't take unnecessary risks. They took risks to a point on the counter-attack, but were well aware of their vulnerabilities in behind and were well aware, I say in behind, I mean in those spaces of, you know, in between the midfield and the defence, when you push people on too aggressively. You know, Declan Rice being in the side helped us to deal with that in comparison to last season. And Gabriel and Saliba being at centre-half was a big part of that. And we're going to talk about them in a bit more detail. But I'm very pleased with our performance. Not massively pleased with the result, but I'm content with the result is how I would put it. And now, you know, there's 9 games to go. Let's get our heads down. Let's go and beat Luton on Wednesday. And let's see where we are come the end of the season. We're still in the race. And yesterday, although it didn't say to me, oh my God, we're going to go on and win the title, what it said to me is that we're much better equipped this time around to last the distance. And also it gives me encouragement with regards to the Champions League, the fact that we were able to put in a defensive display away from home, up against the ropes at times, against a very good side like Manchester City. Let me take a few of your comments on that, and then we will dive into some individual performances and we'll get into lots more on this episode of the Chronicles of Aguna. If I could just ask you to leave a like on the video if you haven't done so already, it really, really does help. Subscribe to the channel if you're brand new. If you're on X, then please do come over to the YouTube channel, give us a subscribe. Or if you prefer to listen in audio format, you can find the Chronicles of Aguna podcast on all major podcast stores. Zed Tom says, I'm very satisfied with our performance. We knew it was going to be a battle and that they'd have most of the ball. We never gave up or caved under that extreme pressure, got close to scoring too. I would argue that we had the better chances. Like, we created the better opportunities, the better openings. So I can understand why there's a bit of frustration that we didn't go on and win the game. But, you know, it wasn't to be our day in that department. But defensively, we were so good and so capable that I think you should be focusing on that more than anything else. Siva says, happily take 1 point with a clean sheet at the Etihad. After that result, I really feel we can win all of our remaining games if we can defend like that, even the away game at Spurs. That's the thing, right? Defensive performances like that build confidence and trust among the group of players and from the fans as well. So, yeah, I like that and I agree with that. HE says, Odegaard said that himself. It was difficult to make a play after chasing the ball for so long. The players themselves are disappointed in not controlling the game a bit more when having the ball. I think we looked tired at points. I really did. I think certain individuals looked really tired and you could see that there were tired touches. There were tired decisions when it got to those kind of attacking phases of the game. But we still battled. We still fought hard. We still were able to make sure that we didn't do anything silly and throw the game away. And I'm going to talk about the importance of having a fit squad in a little bit, because I think that's massive here. And that's something that we should be looking at as a positive, because it allowed us, I think, to keep the door closed for as long as we did and eventually leave with at least a point. Right, we're going to take a short pause. When we come back, we're going to break down some of the more nuanced discussions around this one. Manchester City 0, Arsenal 0. We're asking the question today, was it a defensive masterclass or an opportunity missed? Let us know your thoughts in the comments. Okay, I want to talk about the value of the squad, because for me, there were a couple of players that at the point that we made changes or began to make changes, there were a couple of players that were struggling. One of them was Jakub Kivior. I think that people were pointing fingers at him at halftime. And I kind of want to defend him a little bit first, because I don't think Jakub Kivior was bad yesterday. I think Jakub Kivior was up against a really tricky, clever and you know, under the radar strong Bernardo Silva. I think people don't realize how much Bernardo Silva puts himself about because of his size and his frame and his stature. But he's an incredibly difficult player to deal with. And I think at times in the first half, Jakub Kivior maybe struggled a little bit. Once Manchester City brought Jeremy Doku on along with Jack Grealish, Mikel Arteta thought it best to bring on Takehiro Tomiyasu to deal with that threat. And I think he was absolutely right to do that. I feel like that was the right move at that point. Bit better as a one-on-one defender, a bit stronger, maybe a bit quicker across the ground as well, but clearly not fit enough to start the whole game, which was the problem, wasn't it? But Kivior was one of those players that I looked at and thought, you know, maybe we need to get you off. And the other one was Jorginho, who I thought, I just felt like the game passed him by a little bit. I felt like he wasn't able to get on the ball and control games or control the game in the way that we know he can. I think that was to do with City being really good and aggressive in the way that they pressed as well. They defended excellently from the front, Manchester City, and they really stopped us playing out from the back. I can think of many occasions when Arsenal had the ball at centre-half and were looking for an option to move the ball into midfield, and it just wasn't there because De Bruyne, because Foden, because Bernardo Silva, and all of those guys were doing such a good job of closing down those channels and spaces. So I felt like Jorginho was someone that the game maybe passed by a little bit, and he doesn't have that physical dominance that maybe Declan Rice does in order to be able to make an impact and a difference in a slightly different way. So I felt like those two were the two that needed to come off, and fair play to Mikel Arteta. He realized that, I thought, just at the right time before any disasters happened, before any mishaps happened, and he brought on Thomas Partey and Takehiro Tomiyasu. Now, I would go as far as saying that neither of them looked fit enough to me, at least when they initially came on. I think they grew into the game a little bit, and it must be incredibly difficult, of course, to come into a game cold like that and be expected to perform at such a high level. But the reason I wanted to talk about the importance of having a fit squad is that you can foresee these issues occurring. And if you've got players sitting behind you as a manager that you trust, you can make those changes nice and early. You can be proactive rather than reactive, and you can deal with the issues that you maybe think are around the corner. And that's exactly what we did, because from the minute those two came on, it felt like Manchester City were just starting to get on top of us a little bit at that point. And then you bring those two on. You bring those two on and you go, yeah, right, we're going to settle it down now. And we're going to use those two, because not only are they fresher than the two that are playing, they're probably better suited in terms of their individual attributes. I think that both of those guys would have started the game had they been deemed fit enough, but they're not. So Mikel Arteta was proactive there. He brought those guys on, and I think that was really important to us then making sure that we saw out the game. So the importance of a squad is massive. It really, really is. I also want to talk a little bit about Gabriel Magalhaes, because for me, he was just immense yesterday. He was unreal. He was brilliant from the very beginning. He's been brilliant all season. And I think yesterday's game was the point at which the rest of the footballing world probably sat up and went, bloody hell, that Gabriel, he's quite the centre-half, isn't he? I feel like William Saliba, as brilliant as he is always the one that gets the plaudits. Whenever Arsenal defend well, it's, oh, well, look how good William Saliba was. You know, this young talent who, you know, initially was loaned out a couple of times. There was a lot of questions around whether or not he'd make it at Arsenal. There was questions about his relationship with Mikel Arteta. He came in last season, he was a revelation. And then when Arsenal fell apart at the end of last season, it coincided with him being injured. Not a coincidence whatsoever. Yeah, that was a big part of the reason that we weren't as strong as we needed to be at the business end of the season. There's no question about that in my mind. But I always feel like it's Saliba, Saliba, Saliba. All the attention is always on Saliba. Whereas yesterday, I felt, was the point at which maybe people outside of Arsenal circles, because we've been waxing lyrical about Gabriel for a while, but I felt this was the point that those outside of Arsenal circles went, you know what? That Gabriel, he's a proper centre-half, isn't he? Because he pocketed Erling Haaland. He pocketed him. You know, Erling Haaland couldn't shake him off, couldn't get in front of him, couldn't get in behind him. Gabriel clearly got in Haaland's head. You could see that at the end of the game as well, based on that little kind of altercation that they had with Pep Guardiola having to play maybe peacemaker in between them. I just think that with Gabriel, you know, this was a guy that when he first came in, he looked strong. He looked powerful, quick across the ground. We knew all of that stuff was there. The bit that maybe wasn't there was the temperament. The bit that maybe wasn't there was, you know, him being able to stay calm and composed in these big games. He sometimes got a little bit carried away, would get himself into trouble, would make rash challenges. Now it's very calculated, very, very calculated from Gabriel. And his ability to kind of read games better, understand games better, control his own emotions better is what's taken him from a very good centre-half to, in my opinion, a world-class centre-half. Now, I said this a few weeks ago and I was laughed at on another show, but I really, really do believe this. On current form, Gabriel Magalhaes is the best centre-back in the Premier League. I really, really do believe that. I want to talk about Arsenal's wide players because, you know, we had a decision to make. We knew that Gabriel Martinelli wasn't, ready to start the game. Bukayo Saka was clearly nursing some sort of problem. Bukayo Saka doesn't come off early unless Bukayo Saka has a problem. So I think to me, it was pretty obvious that he wasn't quite in tip-top shape and that, you know, we needed to get him off at some point. And I just, you know, people keep talking about the fact that we weren't threatening enough going forward. And I really, really do believe that a lot of that was down to, aside from the different roles that the wingers had to play yesterday in order to help us with our compact defensive shape overall, I think a lot of it was down to the fact that we didn't have that same running power because Saka wasn't at 100%, because we didn't have Martinelli on that left-hand side from the start, who's such a good outlet. And as I kept saying in the build-up to the game, probably would have run riot had he been fit in Kyle Walker's absence. we played Jesus, and although Jesus has got a lot of stick for missing a couple of chances, I think his defensive work was unreal. It was out of this world, and he deserves praise for that. And that's where sometimes you have to look at the context of the game, and you have to look at how the game is going. Gabriel Jesus, for me, is someone who, you know, can cause all sorts of problems going forward, but also defends really, really well from the front. Only this time, he wasn't just defending from the front. He was having to come all the way back into the left-back position at times to defend. And when you do that, again, I keep talking about this ability that people imagine footballers and football teams have to flick switches. When you're back at left-back defending, do you know how difficult it is then to look up, get your head down and make a really sort of powerful, meaningful sprint forward? It isn't easy to do that over and over and over again. I think on the other side, Bukayo Saka was defending plenty too. Saw him in some really deep positions. But, you know, I think he had Ben White behind him. He was just a little bit more comfortable than Jakub Kivior was on the day. And that meant that Bukayo Saka had sort of less defensive responsibility, in my opinion, than Gabriel Jesus did on the day. But they weren't really playing like wingers yesterday. And that was partly down to, I think, not having the fitness to be as explosive as we want them to be. But also, because let's not forget, Jesus has had his fitness problems of late as well. He's definitely not in peak condition. But I also think it was, you know, Manchester City being really good and Manchester City forcing us back and pinning us back at times and making it so that those guys had no option but to come back and defend. So we can talk about them as being wingers, but yesterday it felt like they were playing more like midfield players who were starting in a wide area but were tucking in really, really narrow when necessary and helping the fullbacks by doubling up against a very, very talented Manchester City squad. So we can focus on the fact that they didn't produce that much as an attacking sort of force. But I think what we should be doing is, okay, you know, having that constructive criticism of them, but also focusing on what they did do, which was a really, really good defensive job for the team. And then acknowledging that that's probably part of the reason why they weren't able to do as much as we'd normally like to see them do in those attacking positions. Our defensive shape was interesting at times. When Jorginho plays alongside Declan Rice, you know that we're going to end up at points with Havertz up front, Odegaard alongside him, so those two pressing as a unit, and then it looks like we have like a flat four behind them of the two wingers either side, and then Jorginho and Rice in the midfield. And you did see that at points, but you also saw at points us turning that flat four into a flat five. Sometimes Kai Havertz would drop into the midfield and make it a flat six. Sometimes the wingers would drop back into the defensive line, or Rice would drop back into the defensive line, and we played with a back six. What Arsenal had to do was limit very specific spaces, because we know the spaces in which Manchester City like to attack, and we know that they like to hurt you in, you know, very specific ways. For example, one of the things that this Manchester City side do better than anybody, I think, is get to the byline and cut balls back. And what we did was made a conscious effort using our wingers slash defenders as they were yesterday to make sure that we limited the number of times that their players could get to the byline. And if we did allow them to get to the byline or somewhere similar, we were really concentrating on overloading the near post areas to make sure that we could block crosses at source rather than allowing them to make their way deep into our box and having to defend them then. So I think Mikel Arteta did a really good job and the players did a really good job, because the manager can identify these things, but the players have to carry it out and action it and remain concentrated for the entirety of a game. But what we did really well was figure out what were the priority spaces that we needed to defend well with numbers and with physicality. And we made sure that we dealt with those areas first. And if you do that, you take away a lot from Manchester City's attack. I'm not saying they're a one-trick pony and they only have one way of attacking, because they've got two good of players for me to be saying something like that. But there are very specific patterns to Pep Guardiola's game that Mikel Arteta has obviously identified, and the team have then worked hard on, you know, stifling essentially. And we did a really, really good job of that. So I want to give praise to that, because I think the defensive shape was interesting in that it wasn't always what I expected it to be, which is kind of what I just described. There was some variation to it that was clearly tailored specifically to deal with the threat of this particular opponent. And I like that. I like that we've shown that we can be adaptable in that sense. Oh, it was dull. It was dull. It was dull. It's nothing like Manchester City versus Liverpool. That's all I've been hearing since I woke up this morning. Do you think Jurgen Klopp cares about how exciting his games with Pep Guardiola have been over the years? Or do you think he cares about the fact that he's only managed to win one Premier League title? What would be his priority? I'm pretty sure if you said to Jurgen Klopp, you'd be playing out nil-nils with Manchester City, but you'd have another title on the board. I'm certain he'd take that, wouldn't he? So this talk about it being dull and all the rest of it, whatever. You know, Arsenal's job, Manchester City's job yesterday was to turn up at the Etihad and get the best result possible for their side. Their responsibility is not to entertain the neutral, not to entertain the Chelsea fans. I don't even know why they're piping up. This was a game between the big boys. Not to entertain the Manchester United fans, another side that have no right to be piping up at this moment in time. The responsibility of both of those teams, both of those managers, was to set their teams up in a way that gave them the best possible chance of getting the best possible result for themselves. They are not responsible for your enjoyment, neutral. Sorry, get over yourselves. I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine with the way that we played. And I'm absolutely fine with the result. Did I want more? Of course I did. But look, it's a good point. It's a solid point. And we're still in the race going into the real, real business end of the season, where squeaky bum time really does begin. If we take a look now at the Premier League table, I want to talk a little bit about what this means, this result. You know, Liverpool have gone back top of the league, having beaten Brighton, which I expected to happen, by the way. It's a bit like the weekend when Liverpool played City, right? And we were playing Brentford. You knew that you were probably going to gain an advantage on those sides because the likelihood of a draw was very high, and the probability that you were going to win in a much more fancy game was very high. So it was always a real distinct possibility that you were going to gain something on Liverpool, Manchester City that weekend. We did. And now that was the same this time with us meeting Manchester City, only in Liverpool's favour. So Liverpool going top doesn't panic me, doesn't stress me out, because I was pretty confident that was going to be the case come this this point on Monday anyway. And you know, when I was doing my predictions and you were all saying to me in the chat that I was way off and I was completely wrong, well, this weekend, I know it's only one weekend in, it has panned out exactly as I predicted. So I'm not going to sit here and be upset about that or concerned about that. It is what it is. Liverpool at top of the league on 67 points. Arsenal are second on 65. With a superior goal difference to both Liverpool and Manchester City still. We've got a six better goal difference over Liverpool. And at the moment, it's 11 over Manchester City, who sit a point behind us in third on 64. So, you know, this is really, really tight. This is really, really congested up at the top of the Premier League. There's 3 points between third and first. Right, this is going to be maybe the greatest title race, if it continues like this for a few more weeks, in the history of the Premier League. And we're a part of that. We're a part of that. We're not out of it. We're not the favourites to win it. And I would still argue that even though we're second and we've stayed above Manchester City, having been to the Etihad, I would argue that we're still we're still the third favourites in this race because of the fixtures. Manchester City have got a decent run of fixtures to come, but they have the Champions League sandwiched in there as well. At least two games, it might be four more that they need to play. The same can be said of Arsenal. Liverpool have a much more favourable run in, and you know they do have the luxury of being in the Europa League, where they can probably get away with making a few more changes, etc., etc. But like, I don't look at Liverpool and think they're amazing. I think that they've been good this season, and I think they've got results at times that they didn't always deserve. But I just look at their results and or their games, I should say, and I still think that they are in the driving seat for that reason, which is what I predicted, by the way, that they would go on and win the league. That's going as planned. Arsenal are going to just have to put more points on the board between now and the end of the season than Liverpool do. It's as simple as that. But you're in it. You're fighting for it. You're competing for it. That's what you want. So nothing's really changed in terms of the outcome yesterday and what my outlook is on the title race on the whole. Having said that, had Arsenal won yesterday and gone back to the top of the league on 67 points with a superior goal difference to Liverpool, I would still be saying that Arsenal are not the favourites, because I really do believe that our running is a lot harder than either of the two teams that are around us. And in particular, it's harder than Liverpool's because of their involvement in the Europa League rather than the Champions League. So, yeah, that's where I'm at on that. Look, guys, so much to get into, so much to discuss. I know that there's a few people in the chat that want to talk about David Raya, who I thought was fine yesterday. I thought he just obviously, he was slipping over a little bit in the first half, which was a bit frustrating. I think I tweeted at the break just saying, get him another pair of boots. But I think, you know, the distribution wasn't that great, largely because Manchester City made it so. They closed him down quickly. They forced him to turn onto his weaker foot quite a bit, which is, you know, quite significant when you're talking about goalkeepers and especially those goalkeepers who pride themselves and whose game is built around that really clean, confident distribution. I thought it was fine. As I said, I thought Kivior was okay. I thought Jorginho was okay, but I think Arteta made those changes at the right points in the game. I thought Kai Havertz battled well, but really was feeding off scraps for large periods. So it wasn't his most effective game. I thought Odegaard at times, you know, was a little bit loose in possession. Some of the passes he played were poor, didn't execute them right, looked tired, looked off it, but continued to work for the team. Rice was really, really good at protecting those spaces in between the lines that we touched on earlier. And I thought, he did a really, really excellent job of marshalling Kevin De Bruyne specifically as well. There was a lot of points in the second half where I kind of looked away from the ball and I'd find him sort of making sure that he was well aware of where Kevin De Bruyne was. And there was that one moment where Rice lost the ball, but he managed to use his incredible recovery powers to get it back off of Kevin De Bruyne before it turned into danger. I thought Ben White was really, really good as well, in that right back position. Saliba, excellent, of course. It was a good, competent, solid display that ended in Arsenal leaving the Etihad, having avoided defeat and having got a point in the bag. And if you can't win it, then don't lose it. So in answer to the question that we started the pod with, before I let you all go, defensive masterclass or an opportunity missed? I think this falls somewhere in between. But I prefer to focus on the defensive masterclass bit because that's something that we haven't seen from Arsenal very often over the years. We're seeing it more and more this season, but to go and do it at a place like Manchester City is obviously a lot more difficult than anywhere else really in the league. And so, you know, we've gone to Anfield, we haven't been beaten. We've gone to the Etihad, we haven't been beaten. We've beaten both of those sides at home. I think that's progress in terms of our capacity to get results from the biggest of fixtures. Now we need to continue that and build on that momentum. I've got to disappear because we're doing the 90 Min show in just a few minutes' time. Myself, Scott Saunders, Jacob Colshaw and Grizz Khan will be looking back over the weekend's football. If you've got any questions, please don't leave them in the live chat because they'll disappear when the stream finishes. But do go into the comments section on the video once we're done. Or you can tweet me, if you like, at Harry Simeu, and I'll pick those up on tomorrow's show because I'm sure we're still going to be talking about the game against Manchester City in some capacity whilst turning our attention as well to that game coming up against Luton on Wednesday. The football's coming thick and fast, which means the Chronicles of Aguna is coming thick and fast. There's going to be so many episodes coming to you over the next month or so. I'm here for it. I've had my time over the international break to recharge and we go again. And we go again big for the remainder of the season. Thank you for joining me. As always, there's so many of you watching. If you haven't left a like on the video and you're watching us on YouTube, please do. If you haven't liked it on X, please do. If you're not subscribed, please do. If you haven't left us a review, please do. It all really, really does help. We'll be back with another episode of the Chronicles of Aguna on Tuesday. And we'll take some of your questions to start off the show before turning our attention, as I say, to that game against Luton. Thank you so much for joining me. All the best. Goodbye.